Good morning. Praise you, Father. Today is November 1st, 2020. We had a time change last night. Everybody made it to church on time, as opposed to making church an hour early. I want to talk this morning about faithfulness. We sang some songs this morning talking about the faithfulness of God. In Isaiah 11, beginning with verse 1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness shall be the belt of his waist." So here in Isaiah chapter 11, we have a messianic prophecy. And in the messianic prophecy, talking about the coming Messiah, it mentioned that he's faithful. We're called to be like Jesus in this world. You know that, right? As Jesus was in the world, so are we, as the Scripture tells us. We are called to be lights and to show the love of God to the people we encounter. And one of the attributes of Jesus, and also the attribute of God, as we were singing this morning, is His faithfulness. We are called to be faithful in the things that we do. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a situation dealing with somebody, and they were always so enthusiastic about doing good things that they forgot to do the things they were supposed to do. You ever have that? You ever have that in your own life? Gets guilt. Is that a guilty or is that guilty? Absolutely. You know, we get so involved in doing what seems like a good idea, and we sometimes forget to do what it is we're supposed to do. One of the things people questioned me about several times while I was working this summer is how come I'm always giving them basically a full rundown of things that were going on and decisions I made and why I made the decisions that I made. Like, what's up with that? Many years ago, back when I was in the Navy, passed the test and was going to be promoted to E5, and I had a situation where something happened in the middle of the night and I was working on fixing it, and I didn't bother to tell my boss that it was broke because I was busy fixing it. I was busy doing, you know, taking on a task and doing something that was, yeah, it was in the scope, but not the most important thing. And the fact that my boss found out about it when he got up in the morning, when somebody else asked him about something that I hadn't bothered to tell him about. You know, I hadn't bothered to do the most important thing, is to let the people above me know that there was an issue. It was important to fix it. It was much more important to let them know that there was a problem so that they could then take charge, direct it, however they wanted to do. I could have said, hey, this is broke. I'm working on fixing it, but this is what's going on. Instead, I got involved in what I was doing trying to fix it and didn't pass the word along. I don't make that mistake anymore. If I'm asked to do something, I'm going to set out and start doing it. I mean, I'm going to make sure that it gets done. If, you know, somebody tells me to do something, they tell me to do it, but don't tell me how to do it, I will do it in the way I think is best and let them know why I did it, how I did it, why I did it that way, that I, in that way, what my reasoning was, and give them the opportunity to say, that's wrong, you should have done it another way, or say, next time do it this way, or, hey, that's a great idea. but being faithful in what we're called to do, no matter what it is. In Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 21, it says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good for those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should wait, or should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Again, in the middle of that, talking about the attributes of God, that God's faithfulness is great. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. That God continues to reach out. And God is faithful in all that He does. And as we are called to be more and more and more like Jesus, more and more and more like the Master, as our faith is refined just as in refining gold and silver, as the heat is turned up and the pressure is turned up and the impurities come to the top and are drawn off, the refiner knows that the process is complete when he looks down and sees his reflection. As God works in us that we might show his reflection to the people around us. As God is faithful, we are called to be faithful in this world. Regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of what's going on, we are called to be faithful. And if we're faithful in our tasks, if we're faithful in what God has laid out for us to do, then God gets glory. If we jump up and say, "Oh, let's do this, 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 and this," there's a lot of things that are done in the name of God that have absolutely nothing to do with God's guidance in this world and so often in our own lives. I remember years ago, I was crying out to the Lord. I was overwhelmed by everything going on, things that I knew God had called me to do. But I was, you know, at the end of my rope. And praise God, if I was doing it all in my own strength, it was going to fail anyway. But I remember I was on my way. I don't know if Deb was with me that day or not. I don't remember, but it probably was. But I was on my way to the pastor's meeting at Hunger Mountain down in Waterbury one first Tuesday of the month. And on the way down, I felt the Lord speak to me and say, "Don't take on anything else." Okay, sounds easy enough. So I get down there, and there's a minister originally from Uganda, I think it was, who pastored a church in Barrie. And he was trying to get other churches and other ministries to help him bring a bishop from Uganda over. And he had this clipboard that he's passing around for people to sign up on it. And, you know, I passed it by. I kept it going. Not that I have anything against that. God had specifically told me that morning not to take on anything else. So after the meeting, or at lunch, he came by and said, "Hey, brother, I noticed your information's not on here." I explained to him, "God told me this morning not to take on anything else." "Yeah, I understand that, brother. That's wonderful. So can I put you down?" No, as a matter of fact, you cannot. You know, and God has since taken a few things away because I was to the point where I was overwhelmed. It was interfering with things. But I had taken on too much. Good things, godly things, but not what God had called me to do. I know of a couple of different ministers who are wonderful ministers, but they are not doing what God called them to do. They're not doing what they're gifted at doing. Both of them are, by gifting, by calling, by personality, everything, they're evangelists. Actually, I know three that way. And they're trying to act as a pastor of a church. It is a different calling. Is it a different understanding? People say, if you're a minister, you got to be a pastor. No, that's not what God has called each and every one of us to do. In Ephesians, it talks about how he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the saints, perfecting of the saints. You know, I know this verse. At any rate, different ministers in different positions, different callings, different understandings, because the whole body needs it. We don't need just it's not just a one size fits all. You have to do it this way. We are called to be faithful wherever God has placed us, whatever God has called us to do. each and every one of us. Because each and every one of us has a place that we fit. You remember in Ezekiel talking about the valley of dry bones and how at the Lord's prompting, Ezekiel prophesied to the valley of dry bones and they came together and each one came to fit in the place where he was. It talks about the whole body is fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. Paul talking in another place where he talks about if the whole body were the hand, then where's the seeing? If we all have the exact same giftings and same callings, how does that minister to the body? We're all like a single organ grown in a petri dish. You know? It's not a functioning body. It's just a thing that's by itself useless. But God has a plan and purpose for each of us, and He calls us to be faithful in that. In Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." Again, I'm always amazed some of the things that are said to the church. Don't get conceited. Don't provoke one another. Don't envy one another. But that gift of the Spirit includes faithfulness. God working in us, the Spirit of God in us, will make us faithful. As we are called, being changed from glory to glory, being transformed into the image of Christ, we are called to be faithful. Again, 1 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 1. Paul talking to the Corinthians says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." We're always called to be faithful in what God has called us to do. To do the things God has laid on our hearts to do, to be faithful to do it until such a time as God tells us to do something else. Wherever we are, whatever position we're in, whatever God has called us to do, He's called us to be faithful. That we be faithful witnesses. The Scripture says a faithful witness will not lie. But a false witness will utter lies. Is our life a faithful witness of who God is and what He's done in our lives, what He's called us to do? Going on, verse 3. "But in me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of one's heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." Paul telling the Corinthians that we are called to be faithful. And even though I don't know of anything in me that's against what God has called me to do, I still don't judge it because there's still, things going on that I don't know about. In time, God will reveal it. In the meantime, we are called to be faithful. Called to show forth the faithfulness of God in our lives, the faithfulness to God by the way we conduct ourselves, by the words of our mouth, by the meditations of our heart. The things that we do should reflect what God has done in us. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 42. Matthew 24 is prophesying about the end times. And in verse 42, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made rulers over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods." Jesus is talking about being faithful in what we've been called to do. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when our last breath is. We don't know when our last day is. We don't know when we're going to pull out of the parking lot and not make it all the way home. I certainly didn't know all those years ago when we pulled out of the parking lot I was going to end up in the ditch right up around the corner. You never know what's going to happen. But we do know that God is the one who's watching over us. God is the one who guides us. And in everything that we do, we should be faithful to what we know God has called us to do. And I've said this before, God is very, very capable of correcting our doctrine. He's very, very capable of moving the earth under us. If we're stepping out in faith to do what God has called us to do, God is able to put us on the right path, even if we start off heading in the wrong direction, if our heart is set to follow the things of God. Because God looks on our heart. He knows what's going on in us. And as we step out in faith, as we step out trusting God, if we step out saying, Lord, I trust that you're going to direct my steps. Lord, don't let me be an obstacle. Lord, don't let me be a stumbling block. Lord, don't let me be unfaithful. But if we step out in that, and I'm not talking about knowingly, like, okay, Lord, if you don't want me doing this, I want you to stop me. No, that's not it. That's not the right attitude, and that's not being faithful at all anyway. But stepping out saying, Lord, direct my steps. Lord, I don't understand, but this is what I believe I'm hearing, and I know that you've called me, and I know that you're at work. When I came up here all these 22, almost 23 years ago, when I came up to Vermont, I knew God was sending me toward Montreal. Now, when I got turned around at the border, I was very surprised because God was sending me toward Montreal. But as I was willing to step on the plane or step on the train and take the train to the bus and take the bus to the border, as I was willing to do the things that I felt God was leading me to do, then I opened my heart and opened the situation for God to direct my steps. If I felt like saying God had said go to Montreal, I'm like, no. I think I'm going to go to Miami. It's much warmer there. You know? To a Jonah and go the wrong way. God is still able to catch people's attention and direct them. But my heart was set to do what I felt God was telling me to do. And as I started on that journey, God was able to direct me. And God blessed me in so many ways that trip. I remember when the train went across came across into the Vermont border, and I don't know where it was. It had to be across the Connecticut River somewhere. But there was I've never seen so many geese in my life. The skies was full of flocks of geese. The lake, it was right at sunset, and there was flocks of geese covering the water. Thinking it's the Connecticut River. I have no clue. No, not the Connecticut River. No?
Wasn't on Vermont, New York?
No, I was coming up from New York City.
Yeah. So you would have come up the Hudson Valley and gone into Vermont somewhere near, could have been near Whitehall or that area. I don't know. I just have to look at the map.
I don't know how the train went, but I have never, right at sunset. So the sky is a beautiful color. The sky is full of flocks of geese. The water is covered with geese. Just an amazing, amazing thing. All because I was willing to do what God called me to do. And you're talking about, it's like, oh yeah, he saw geese. Whoopee. Welcome to the North Country. You'll see geese. Remember, I'm from the South, okay? I'd never seen that many geese at one time. I've never seen that many geese since. But it was just an amazing thing. How when we step out to be faithful to God, if we step out saying, Lord, I want to do what you've called me to do, as we're willing to step out to do what God has called us to do, and we step out knowing that He's the one who's going to direct our steps, that He will lead us and bless us in ways we can't imagine. And if we instead say, yeah, that's what God said, but you know, I'd really rather do this. Anybody ever said that? Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I'd really rather do... Anybody besides me and Carol done that? You know? We don't always want to do what God has called us to do, but we don't have the answers. And we don't know the questions. We don't know what's going on. We don't know how important it's going to be in somebody's life. I think back to Rich talking about the person that impacted his wife Robin's life. How she was just walking down the street one day and some kid hollered out the window, hey lady, Jesus loves you. And that just kind of stuck in her heart and drew her to God. We don't know when it's going to be a kind word. We don't know when it's going to be a smile. We don't know when God is going to put something on our heart and it be exactly what we need or what that person needs. You'll read different stories. You'll find them in like Guidepost magazine or even on the internet in different places. People felt like God told them to do something, and it really didn't make a lot of sense. But when they were faithful to what God told them to do, to bless somebody else, it happened to be exactly what that other person was praying for. God knows. Are we going to be faithful to do what God has said? We already read in Galatians that it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. That faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Final passage of Scripture. Luke 16. Again, Jesus talking, beginning with verse 10, says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is greed personified. And we say, "Well, I'm not worshiping money," but are there other things that we allow to creep in and take first place in our lives? Our plans for the future, our goals and desires. Or are we willing to submit everything to the Lord? "Lord, I want to be faithful to you. Lord, I want to do what you've called me to do. I want to be a light. I want you, Lord, to work in my life. Father, I want that faithfulness, that fruit of the Spirit, to spring up and be evident in my life in all things, that I'd be faithful in what is little." So many times we say, "Well, that's just a small thing. It doesn't matter." No, it does matter. If we're faithful in what is little, we'll be faithful in what is much. But if we're unfaithful in what is little, even though we may intend to be faithful in what is much, Scripture says we're not going to be. So let's be thrilled to be faithful in the little things, knowing that God is at work and that the little things we commit to Him, He's the one, He's going to increase and He's going to grow. And the heart that is set to be faithful, the heart that is set to do what God has called us to do, if we'll step out in the little things, we will see God work in our hearts and in our lives, in our circumstances. We'll see God work in the lives of people around us. All because we're willing to be faithful. We're willing to do what God has called us to do. And not look for something bigger, something better. But to be faithful right where God has had us. Because God has a plan for your life and my life. He's got a plan to use us as lights in the midst of this darkness. We can look around and see the darkness. We may not see how effective we are. Often we don't. But we do know that God is at work, and that which we have committed unto Him, He is going to take, and He is going to use, and He is going to bless, and He is the one who's going to give the increase. Paul says, "One plants, one waters, but God, it's God that gives the increase." Do we trust that the things we commit to God's hands, He is bringing an increase in it? Not just in our own lives, but in the lives of people around us. God is bringing an increase, not just in our own circumstances, but He's bringing an increase of the fruit that we give Him, an increase of the things that we place in His hands. And as we are faithful in what God has called us to do, He is doing wondrous things. I don't know about you, I am thrilled by that. Just had the memory come up this morning from when we were down in Florida. And my cousin, if you're listening, Jennifer, you're famous. My cousin saying, "You don't understand. When I was growing up, they was the heathen," talking about me and Jesse, and how we both pastor churches now. And God has done so much in my life. God has done so much in each and every one of us. He has shown Himself mighty with the little bit we give Him. Sometimes it's just the widow's mite. It's all we have. But all we have, if we are faithful, God will bring an increase. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful in all things, that you have shown yourself mighty, that you have shown yourself faithful, that you have shown yourself gracious and merciful. We thank you, Father, that you are at work. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is wasted, not even our tears. And we give glory and praise, Lord, that you are the one who directs our steps. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.